message. And today I want to start our Christmas series, The Un-Christmas. So if you open up Luke chapter 1, if you're not there already, I'll make everybody thirsty. Are you hungry after seeing some of that food? And I told Amy what the title of a series is going to be, and she looked at me like I was an idiot, which I'm used to that look. And hopefully over the next month I make clear what I'm trying to convey as we look at this Christmas. Because we get to the Christmas season, I think most of us get here, and we have things we automatically associate with Christmas. The Christmas, the kids' Christmas or winter concert at school. If you didn't go this year, you missed out. It's the best I have seen since I've been here. It was awesome. And so if you know the music teacher, make sure she knows you appreciate what she's done. Not only quality of type of music, but how she's really taught them kids. And they were excited, having fun, dancing around on the stage. That kind of gets Christmas going. Now, maybe up here in the north, you get a little bit of snow and cold, and you're like, it must be that time of the year. And growing up, that was the opposite for us. It's the middle of the summer when Christmas got here, so it was like, why are you putting snow under the tree, Mom? It doesn't fit. Christmas lights, Christmas trees, the stars that we hang during this time of the year, the Christmas music. Well, some Christmas music should be thrown away. Amen? Yeah, y'all don't want to say because it's so unholy. Some of that music is so depressing. But there's some good Christmas music, too. Okay? And how about peppermint sticks and candy canes and just gifts under the tree and Santa Claus and reindeer? Christmas Eve service, Hallmark movies. Did I miss anything? Anything else that makes you start feeling Christmassy? Things you expect at Christmas time? Go ahead. You can shout it out. Candy. The healthy stuff. Anybody else? Cookies. Christmas is all about food, ain't it? Mm-hmm. I'm a mama stuffing. Anybody else? Manger scene. And we all got something that kind of gets us going, gets us thinking in that Christmas mood and that feeling and that expectation. And we paint this beautiful picture of Christmas, the pretty smells, the sounds, the aromas, friends gathering, family gatherings, meals, and it's supposed to be cheerful, exciting, and happy. And the truth is that Christmas, if our plans don't go as they're supposed to, it's like, often have you said, this does not feel like Christmas. Right? Well, let's go to the beginning of that first Christmas in Luke 1. What we also know as the first Advent. The peaceful, beautiful Advent. Let me just remind you, there's a second Advent that will happen. It's not peaceful and quiet. He comes as a judge. Okay. This first Advent, he came as a lamb. As the sacrifice for sin. But normally when I make a reference to the first Christmas, I'm speaking of the prophecies of the coming Messiah. As he did in Genesis, talking about the one that would crush the skull of the enemy. Or Isaiah, that was predicting and foretelling that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. That he would suffer. Many other areas in the Old Testament that promised the Savior and Messiah. That's what I called the first Christmas, is promising he would come. But then we have this, that is 400 years after God's first or last words in the Old Testament. Understand, God revealed himself throughout the Old Testament, spoke and made promises and used prophets, told him what he required, and for 400 years he became silent. He said, listen, I've told you all you need. I want you to obey now. I want you to listen to my word. I want you to be obedient, and I want you to trust me. And we know that is the 400 years of silence where he gave no more instruction, no more promises. It's that time between the Old and New Testament where they maybe wondered, what now? When is he going to speak again? And then suddenly God reveals himself after 400 years. when he enters the temple to a man named Zacharias. We spoke of him a little bit on Wednesday night if you were here. But this angel comes with a message from God to speak to John the Baptist. Speak to Zachariah, making a promise that he and his wife would have a baby, Zacharias. Now, this couple was way out of their childbearing age. She was called barren already. But God made a promise to him that there would be a forerunner, a Christ, that John the Baptist's whole life would be to serve God. And he did. But about 6 months after that encounter, God speaks again. And that's where we get our story today, when that same angel appeared again in Luke chapter 1. Go down to verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us, for blessing us. We thank you where we're allowed to live. Lord, I ask that your word would challenge us today to be the people you want us to be, where you allow us to live. That we'd proclaim Jesus. That we'd be bold. We'd be willing to do whatever you call us to do, to be obedient to you. But as you give me the words to say, give us a soft heart to listen and to respond. Lord, I ask that you have your way in the preaching of your word today. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. You know this story, but I'd like to compare this story to our Christmas expectations and see how this young lady had a beautiful white Christmas with beautiful music, all starting right here. So the first thing I want to look at is the young lady, Mary, because we know a few things about her. If you notice that two times in the text that we just read, she's referred to as a virgin. A term that is used for an unmarried young lady, that at that time there was an expectation, and it should be today. That she's not married, she should be pure, she should be holy, she should be set apart. And this here is a fundamental important point, is that Mary is untouched by a man. Verse 34, she confirms, she says, I know not a man. She's not been with a man. She is a pure, holy young lady. And we must understand how important this is, that this is the only way that this baby can be the Messiah, the Son of God. That he is Emmanuel, God with us, the Savior of the world, which after his birth, the angels confirmed. You know who that baby is? Emmanuel, God with us. Glory to God in the highest. We know a few things about this young lady. She's called a virgin, and she herself spoke that. But she's also, Scripture says, espoused. Best known to you and I is engaged. She's promised. But understand, this goes beyond what we understand. This is a legal transaction that takes place. This is the commitment that a father makes for his daughter. Daddies, you got a daughter in the house? Just look at her and tell her, this is how we're going to do it. This is where the father would make a contract with the young man's father, and the payment for her would begin. Payment for her. Well, understand, culturally, they understood that this father was losing something. He was losing a daughter. He was losing a helper around the house. And so the other family was gaining something. They were gaining his daughter. So to make up for it, they would give a gift. And it was agreed upon. But understand this, now Mary and Joseph or spoused. It would make them legally husband and wife without being completely committed yet. This arrangement that is called husband and wife already has a limitation. They could not yet be sexually involved. They did not live together yet. She would stay and honor her father and help the father until the husband was ready, because he was sent off to work and to prepare a home for them. And so she would wait for him to be prepared to come and get her from her father's house to take her home. Now, I'm stepping out of a lesson for just a second, because I wanted you to make this correlation. This is a beautiful picture here of the Jewish marriage. They make a contract. They agree, okay, we are married. When it's time, the husband comes and picks her up to take her to their permanent home. You following me? Jesus came to earth. And we built a relationship with him and became his bride through faith. And we make a contract and agreement that we are his bride and he is our husband. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. And when it's time, he will come back and get those who have placed faith in him and become his bride. You see the picture here? Now, if you're walking with us through Revelation, we're going to touch this again at the end, because what happens in heaven after he comes back and takes us home with him is what's called the wedding feast. It's a beautiful picture. See, I was here just a second. This is why marriage is not supposed to be taken lightly. My teens, single people in here, this is why God wants you to be careful who you make this commitment with, because it's a picture of his relationship with his bride. Whoop, whoop. There's the pressure. How I treat that woman is a picture of how he treats me. Am I fulfilling that? The way she treats me is supposed to be a picture of how the church is supposed to treat him. Don't believe me? Ephesians 5 and 6. Woo, marriage is a big deal here. They're not taking it lightly. They've made this contract, this agreement. And so here she is. She's a wife, but not completed yet. He's not taken her home yet. And in her humility, she was scared. Now, let me ask you this. If an angel appeared to you one day and said, boo, would you jump? Would you change your trousers? Yeah. Okay, she was scared. But she wasn't scared at all because of his lights. She wasn't scared because of his appearance. She wasn't scared because an angel appeared out of nowhere. Verse 29 says she was troubled at his saying. She was like, what'd you just say to me? What'd you just promise me? Well, why are you speaking to me? She says in verse 38, I'm just a handmaid. I'm a lowly servant. I ain't nobody. I'm not special. I'm not powerful. I'm not famous. I'm not worthy. Maybe she's thinking that this angel may be here to punish me. And so she's like, scared at what he just said. Imagine if we all had this attitude of humility. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, Lord. I'm just a servant. How well he could use us. How well he could change us and transform us. Say, Lord, I know all of the scripture. I've been to church every Sunday. And by golly, I even come on Wednesday. Pride puffs us up. Here's the young lady. I ain't nobody. She was chosen of God. And she's humble. important thing to recognize that she's just a young lady. She's 13 to 17 years old. Most believe 13 to 15. Mary's just a young lady. She does not impart salvation. Can I say that? If you're counting on Mary to save you, your salvation isn't sealed. Mary is just a young lady. Did you know in verse 37 she actually said that she needed a Savior? You know what she recognized? She was a sinful person. She needed a Savior herself. Understand, Mary is not to be prayed to. Only Jesus is the mediator that we need for God. Don't pray to Mary. She was no more a saint than anyone else that places faith in Jesus. If you've placed faith in Jesus, call on him for salvation. He says he made you a saint. He sanctified you. That doesn't make you pride. That should humble you at the work he did. But realize this. She's only a teenager. She's only a person used by God because of her humility and her faith. And look what he says about her in verse 28, the end of it. Hail thou that are highly favored in the Lord. I'm sorry, favored. The Lord is with thee. Did you catch that about this? Just a teenager. Teenagers in the house, preteens, young people. Check this out, okay? God can use you in just as big a ways as anyone else. He chose this teenage girl, 13, 15 years old. To use her in a huge way. He used a young boy to kill a giant, right? He used this young girl to bring the Messiah in the world. Don't discount yourself from what God can do with you if you will be obedient to him in faith, if you will love him and walk with him. If you'll humble yourself to him and his word, see how he'll use you. And then the angel gives the message. Understand, the angel didn't even give a message yet. If God sends an angel, there's going to be a message. You know what angel means? If you've been studying through Revelation with us, you know what angel means. Angel means messenger. That's what it means. There's no purpose of an angel coming if he doesn't bring a message. His purpose is he's a messenger. So if he sends an angel, he's sending a message. And if you carry the word of God to someone, if you take the message of God to someone, you're acting as an angel. Kind of cool. Look at Luke chapter 1. Go down to verse 30 now. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Remember, she was kind of scared. She's like, "Uh-oh. I'm talking to an angel. Is he here to punish me? Am I in trouble? I don't understand what he's here for." Notice his message to her, first off, was, "Fear not. Calm down. Calm your spirits. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to bring bad news. Instead, I'm here because you are," what do you say here? "You are favored." You are favored. He says, "I got good news for you. God chose you. God favored you. God wants to use you. God wants to bless you." When we see God's favor and his blessings, we often, because of a lot of the preaching has happened, we start thinking of health, wealth, and the good life. God loves me. He can bless me with a brand new truck. Amen? He can give me a bigger house, more money. He can heal my pain. He can heal my marriage. That's how God's going to bless me. The problem is, we don't even see God do that here. God's going to bless her, but not in the way often we look at it because of the prosperity gospel. The funny thing is, those that had power of healing in Scripture, the apostles, the few apostles he gave the power to heal, they didn't use it for themselves. They use it to proclaim Jesus. They use it on strangers. You see, God's blessing has a purpose. It's always to declare Him and make Him known. Here's Mary is found in favor by God, and she's about to receive her blessing. And if I were to tell you God's going to bless you today, too often we get stuck in the, oh, cha-ching. Well, Mary's about to receive her blessing. Look at it in verse 31. As the angel speaking, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know no man, not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You're probably familiar with this passage. You probably hear it every year. It's an important passage for our faith. The promised Messiah, the Savior, the seed of God, born in the flesh. We know Him as Jesus or Emmanuel, God with us. It's the promise of Him coming through Mary because she is favored by God. He has chosen her for this task. Being used by God is a blessing. Let me say this real loud, and I hope you hear it. Being used by God is a blessing. When God leads you to serve or to give or to encourage, you are blessed to be used by the Almighty. Here we see her receive a blessing. He has entrusted her to be faithful to Him and to fulfill His calling. He has chosen her for a big task. How is Mary blessed? Well, she's going to become pregnant by, according to verse 35, His power. His power. The Holy Spirit is going to plant the seed of God within her, and this baby will be the Son of God, the Holy One. And one day, He will rule from Israel, the throne of David. She knew history. She knew who this David guy was. And we know, according to the book of Revelation, He will rule again. Amen. Awesome. This is Merry Christmas right here. Mary, you are blessed. See how awesome Mary's Christmas is starting out? You hear the pretty music in the background, the gifts all around, the good food, the family gatherings right there. Place yourself in her shoes. Mary was called to do an uncomfortable task. A pregnancy would destroy all of her dreams. She's a young lady. She had dreams. This pregnancy would destroy them all. Culturally, it was not accepted. She was an outcast. She'd be rejected now. No one wanted anything to do with her. They wouldn't want to hire her. They'd put a scarlet letter on her. She wouldn't be able to hang out with her friends. She'd be lonely. Merry Christmas, Mary! This idea you have? She'd be the gossip of the town. A lot of churches would have prayer requests with Mary on her. Please give us details about Mary. You see how uncomfortable life is going to be for her because of God's blessing? Friends are going to do away with a relationship with her. Her marriage could be canceled. Legally, she could be killed, stoned to death. But the angel said she was favored. How is this a blessing? How is this Merry Christmas? The angel then speaks of her cousin. And we're not going to get into Zachariah and Elizabeth much today. But he wants her to know that her cousins who are way past the age of childbirth. Elizabeth is known to be barren, that God's using them in the same way. Not to bring a Savior, but bring the forerunner of the Savior, the crazy man that will be preaching Jesus all of his life. That he's so in love with preaching Jesus is coming that he didn't stop to go get a meal. He'd eat grasshoppers and honey. He didn't go to Walmart and buy him a good set of clothes. He's like, I found some camel skins, and he covers up. I've got to keep preaching. And he's telling Zachariah and Elizabeth, listen, you're going to give birth to this guy. And he tells Mary so that she knows, listen, you're not the only one in this situation. God has the power to do this. Just as Mary was confused about using a pure virgin girl to give birth to the Savior, the angel says, God's already done this. He's got the power to do this. An angel tells Mary, you know what? Look at verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be what? Impossible. Mary's like, how's this going to happen? I've never touched a man, never been with a man. God can fulfill his plan. His plan cannot be hindered. He can do the impossible in your sight. See, this isn't a phrase we should use flippantly. So often we want to use some of these catchphrases. With God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ. See, this is a promise that God's plan cannot be stopped. He's saying, Mary, don't you worry. Mary couldn't even say, I can do all things through Christ, because she didn't have to do nothing. The angel told her to. Holy Spirit's going to work through her. It says, God is the one using you. And it's not by your power, not by your might, not by your wisdom, not by your ability. It is by His power. You see the Merry Christmas for Mary? Realize with all these promises from the angel and the awesomeness of the coming of the Messiah, the salvation brought to the world, the privilege to be used by God. Would Mary's experience be fun? Would Mary's experience be easy? Would it be comfortable? Are you thankful that she remained faithful to him? Mm-hmm. But she knew that this would cost her her dream. She knew this would cost her her friends, her family, her comfort. She knew she'd have to walk by faith because I don't have a clue how this is going to happen. And look at Mary's reaction in verse 38. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Her acceptance. See, by faith, Mary accepts this task. She humbled herself as just a handmaid. Lord, who am I to tell you what you're going to do? Lord, who am I to think I need to live a comfortable life? Lord, who am I to think that I should have an easy life? Lord, I'm just your handmaid. I'm your servant. I'm to do your will. I'm to do your desire. Who do I think I am to think that I should only follow God's easy calling or his fun callings? I want to be a part of ministry, but I want to do the fun stuff. Change diapers? I think not. Right? Stand in front of a congregation? Amen. No. We've got to humble ourselves. Lord, where did you call me? Where do you want me to serve? She knew her position. She knew her calling. She knew it was a privilege to honor God. And what'd she say? Be it unto me according to thy word, according to thy will, according to thy desire. Mary says, what you want should happen according to your promise, your power. He says, let thy will be done, Lord. Even though it won't be comfortable, it won't be easy, I can't explain it. Lord, use me. Use me. And when we realize that God's ways are better than ours, because in church, we know the church needs a word to say right now, right? The Lord's ways are always better than ours. Some of y'all are like, I ain't falling for that. I know better. Well, you know, in church and ease, that's what we're supposed to say. The Lord knows best. And then temptation comes. Our God's calling isn't comfortable and it's not easy. Life gets hard. And then it's like, well, Lord, I'll do it my way. We've got to remember that His ways are best, but also that He paid for us by His shed blood. He purchased us for His own use. And when He uses us, He blesses us. Simply by being used by Him is a blessing that He trusted us with His ministry. So sometimes we have to un-Christmas ourselves. Get rid of our own ideas of what we expect from God. And be willing to get uncomfortable. Be willing to say, Lord, I do trust Your way. And this is how You told me Your way is. Lord, I know Your calling on my life. If You called me to walk a holy and pure life, and I know that is best. Lord, I know You have called me to be a witness of Jesus Christ to the world. So that's what I want to do. Be it according to Your word. See, God has chosen you. God has called you out of darkness and placed you in His marvelous light if you follow Jesus Christ and call on Him for salvation. He has called you to have intimacy with Him, to be used by Him. He has called you to be His witness, to first reflect His righteousness in your life and then speak His love with your mouth. Well, first, what you need to do is say, Lord, I'm Your servant. I'm here for Your use, for Your work, for Your honor. He says, use me according to Your word, according to Your way, according to Your calling, according to Your purpose. Well, here's the question. Are you willing to get uncomfortable? Are you willing to get out of the norm, out of the routine? Are you willing to let God transform you? Not others in the room, you. To use you in a great way. Here's a young lady. Especially in the culture, should have said, number one, she's a female. Number two, she's a young lady. She's 13 to 15 years old. Why would He use her? Huh? Because she was faithful. Because she loved the Lord. And He knew her heart. And she said, Lord, let it be to this young servant, whatever You say, I will do it. Let me challenge you, if you're a child of God, if you place faith in Jesus Christ, He's chosen you to do a good work in and through. Will you let Him? If you're in this room and you've never called upon the name of Jesus for salvation, understand, the reason we celebrate Christmas isn't because some cute little baby entered the world. It's because the Messiah Himself put on flesh so that He could die for us. And then resurrect, giving us life to all who believe. And your sin has separated you from a holy God, and Jesus Christ calls you to Himself by faith. And so if you've never called upon the name of Jesus for salvation, there's no better way to celebrate Christmas than him being your Savior, the Lord of your life. Let me just challenge you. Will you say, everyone, will you say, let it be unto the servant according to your word? Would you stand with me? The only way we can let God use us in great ways is to start walking with him. If you're not being obedient to his word, you're not going to take big steps for him. But when you start digging into his word and letting it apply to your life, and you see the importance of the part of his word and prayer and his body, the church, and you become a light to your city, and assault this earth, you start seeing how God will use you to minister to others, to represent Jesus. And where does it start? Wanting to have a closer walk with him. Let's sing this together.